Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Today, we're going to look, God willing, at Psalm 73, and we're going to also look at some other scriptures, Psalms 10 and 11, God willing. But let's begin with Psalm 73. This is God's word. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their careless hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, 'How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?' This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely, in vain, I have kept my heart pure. In vain, I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long, I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. If I had said, 'I will speak thus,' I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This psalm describes the situation that we see around us in the world today. It's the situation that has been the case from generation to generation, civilization to civilization. All the way back here in the Old Testament, this was going on. And that is, God's people often look around and say, "Why am I trying so hard to please the Lord? Because I keep getting knocked down, and these people who hate God or don't have any place in their thinking for him seem to be prospering. They do wicked stuff, and they seem to get away with it. And they're filled with pride, and when the subject of God comes up, they're like, 'Oh, does God even know anything?'" It's very frustrating. The psalmist says, to start with, surely God is good to Israel. God is good to his people, to those who are pure in heart. Not everybody who has the name Israel is really part of God's Israel. Read the book of Romans. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. Why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What was his heart being drawn toward? Prosperity. And if that's the path to wealth, and I'm not wealthy, man, it's tempting to just join that lifestyle, join that group, go after wealth. If I just had money, lots of money, then I could do anything I wanted. I can set my own schedule. I can travel where I want to go. I can buy whatever I want. I can do this or this or this. And it's, you know, money is the key. That's the solution. That's why Jesus said you can't serve God and money. Because it's always been the go-to temptation for people. It's the means whereby we try to make ourselves God. Well, I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he describes how it looked to him, not how it really is. He's going to make it clear later on that this is a temporary thing. But he says, this is my perspective. I thought they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and they clothe themselves with violence. They do all these horrible things because they arrogantly think they can get away with it. Why? Because they seem to get away with it. He says, now, that's the way it looked. And I thought, as a result, verse 13, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long, I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. He's saying, doing the right thing didn't pay off. Now you look in the scriptures and you will find hero after hero, men and women, who did the right thing and suffered for it. Did the right thing and got kicked in the gut. And it's like, well, I don't really want that to happen to me. So I think I'll just keep my head down. Okay. I don't want to do something really terrible, but I don't really want to be the one who goes out and does the right thing. Because people who do the right thing often suffer for it. Well, guess what? It's still the right thing to do. You don't do it for the paycheck. You do it for the Lord. And so, he says, I thought that I have kept my heart pure in vain. It was a waste. Verse 15, here's the truth. This is what I thought. This is what I felt. This is the truth. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God, until I got close to God. And when I drew close to the Lord, then I understood their final destiny. You might want to underline the word final destiny. You heard about the guy who fell off of a 120-story building? On the way down, he said, so far, so good. Right? You see, it's not the fall that gets you. It's that sudden stop. When you and I consider the final destiny of those who live in rebellion against God, I don't want to go there. How about it looks like they're having a great time? It's not going to end well. Okay? Don't ever think, based on contemporary situations based on what's going on right now, current events, don't ever think, well, I guess their side wins. No. Anybody who's in rebellion against God is losing because they're under the wrath of God. What does the wrath of God look like? Romans 1 tells us it's when God says, have it your way. And if your desire in life is to have it your way, to do what you want, to be your own boss, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever I want. You're on your way to destruction. Oh, but that's what I want. I want to be my own boss. Warning, danger. That's the wrong direction. That's the broad road. No, not many people get to be their own boss. Yes, all those turkeys out there who are enslaved by habits and society that cannot satisfy, they're all trying to do what they want to do. So, what's the hope? Well, first of all, God's going to deal with them. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they're destroyed. Do you know what happens to all those people? If you look back through history, every single one of them has had the same ending. And you and I are going to have to face that transition point too. It's called death. And it happens to everybody. The death rate is 100%. And the one thing that matters is your relationship with God. And if your relationship with God was not through faith in Jesus Christ, you are destroyed. So, when my heart was grieved, my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. He's saying, God, I am so sorry that I was such a fool to envy the wicked. The fact is, you're going to call everyone to stand before you. Verse 23, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you take me into glory. Now that's a good ending. Still going to die, but it's not going to be a sad, bad scene. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Compared to God, there's nothing in this world that can compare, that can satisfy, that can meet that deepest longing inside of us. Earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion, keyword, forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I'll tell of all your deeds. I want you to get the main point for today. When it seems that God is ignoring evil, do not give up. He will come to the rescue of those who trust in him. Now, this theme runs through a lot of the Psalms and a lot of the Bible stories. Psalm 10, earlier psalm, we get a picture of this. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Did you catch that? God just doesn't figure into his plans. It's not like he's thinking about God and trying to process this and making a calculated response. He just leaves God out of the picture. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He's haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God is forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. Now the psalmist begs the Lord to do something about it. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. He's saying in the midst of a situation where it seems like God is standing way off there and not paying attention, I know better. That's the way it feels. That's the way it looks. That's the way it seems. But the reality is God sees what's going on. He hears the cries of those who cry to him. And he will deal with it. Look at the next psalm, Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? You ever feel like things are coming apart? You ever look at our government or our culture, at the media? Ah, just say, I think the foundation are crumbling. It's not just the building is in trouble. The building is sitting on a foundation that's in trouble. And when that happens, the whole thing is in serious danger. Guess who's not in danger? The Lord. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked and those who love violence, his soul, God's soul, hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, I look around and it seems like disaster. I look to God and I realize it's going to be okay. So I want to say it again. When it seems that God is ignoring evil, do not give up. He will come to the rescue of those who trust in him. We have to have faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, you get story after story after story of people who had faith, who trusted in God and did what God said. And it's a list of great heroes, all of whom had difficult stories, every single one of them. But it looks like story after story, things turned out pretty well. Well, then you come to a summary statement beginning in Hebrews 11:32 and following. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, wait a minute, that's not the whole verse. Better go ahead and finish verse 35. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made complete. Oh, Pastor, that's a terrible note to end on. Well, I'm not quite done. You see, here's the thing. If we're going to study the Scriptures, we've got to recognize that it is completely honest. God's Word is truth. And so God's Word tells us that often in this life, we see the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. But whatever is going on, God is at work, and He's going to make all things right in the end. And what made the pivotal difference is that God became one of us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We can look around and say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's not fair. Well, I thought God loves justice. How can He allow that person to get away with that or that person to get away with that? I just don't understand. God says they're not getting away with it. But God also says, what about you? Are you hoping to get away with what you've done wrong? Well, I haven't done anything nearly as bad as that person. Have you done anything wrong, was the question. Well, yes, of course I have. Well, do you feel that you ought to be punished? Well, I'd rather not be. Yeah, but do you deserve God's wrath? You will never know God's salvation unless you know that you deserve His wrath. But Jesus didn't just come to reveal to us in His perfection the ugliness of our sin. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and then took all our guilt and all our shame and all our punishment on Him. And then, having suffered in our place, He conquered death. Jesus rose again and is alive right now. And so we know that death is not the end. And what really matters is what's on the other side. And what's on the other side, according to Scripture, is two alternatives. One is the wrath of God. Again, I point you to John 3:36. If you don't know Jesus, you're under the wrath of God. And the wrath of God, it says, remains on that person who refuses to bow to Jesus. But on the other hand, those who trust in Christ are not only forgiven, we are robed in His righteousness and given the rewards that Jesus deserves. Well, I don't think that's fair. I don't deserve that. No, you don't deserve it. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever trusts in Him would not be destroyed, but would have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through Him the world might be saved. And so gathered around the throne one day, there will be people from every tribe and tongue and nation worshiping the Lord. Because instead of getting what we deserve, which is God's wrath, we're going to experience the riches that Jesus deserves. So what do you want to do? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Master. I want Him to govern my life. I want to do what He says. I don't live up to that perfectly, but that's what I'm aiming for, is to please Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to follow Him. And I pray that you are trusting in Him as well.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the Postal Service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org, or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised He will. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.